if we start a league team, I'm not living in the same stinky house as you.
It'd only be stinky if you moved into it.
It's going to smell like Parmesan cheese.
It's not going to smell like Parmesan cheese. And if it did, you'd love it.
I would love it, actually. I love Parmesan cheese.
I'd be fucking fine with that. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Tower Dive. I, of course, am your host, Captain Hooks. And with me, as always, is Pan the Man. What is going on, man?
Nothing much. Welcome to Season 2.
Season 2. We are into our second full season of this debacle.
If this was Game of Thrones, a whole bunch of people would be dead.
No, they would have died at the end of the episode, and this is our reaction to everyone dying.
Oh, okay.
Like that in that last episode, we would have laid waste to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this episode, it's like everyone wakes up from their drinking parties. Like, oh, fuck, all these people are dead. What do we do?
Everybody's dead.
Oh, no. The king is dead. Fuck, who's the king now? Oh, his fucking incestuous son.
Gross.
Yeah, it is gross.
I think that was Keanu Reeves' recap of Game of Thrones Season 1.
Oh, I know Kung Fu. Tommen is king. a lot's kind of happened. I mean, we're in the off season between splits.
Kind of a big 2 weeks, though.
It's been kind of a big, almost more than 2 weeks. Like, everything leading up to MSI, then into MSI, and now we're into post-MSI.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a lot going on. And that's really what the mid-season, preseason, I guess, whatever it is, between splits is for. It's, all the teams that dealt with a lot of shit towards the end, either being relegated or whatever, or they were bad and they're looking to get better, and all the good teams that aren't happy with just being good and trying to get great, and it's a whole lot of shit's going on.
Yeah, you know what we're missing this midseason so far is we're missing a team that was just okay being in the middle. That didn't really happen this season. Everyone's shuffling it up. Fuck it, let's start over, let's do something new.
There was no team that, Immortals didn't do anything different.
Oh, there it is. Okay, Immortals.
I mean, technically,
and
they're,
I guess, Liquid.
Yeah, they're both in the middle. They didn't shuffle shit.
Okay, strike that from the record. We got a couple teams right in the middle that are totally happy where they are.
They didn't shuffle a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
But where do I want to start? I mean, there's kind of a lot to talk about.
Let's start with the big news of MSI.
Let's start with, we will, leading off with MSI.
Do we want to start with the drama of MSI or the actual gameplay?
Well, I mean, I think we'll start with the spoiler alert, although it's not a spoiler since it's already now happened. And if you don't know it, then you missed it.
Tough.
Yeah, tough shit. Fuck you. SKT is MSI champions.
What?
Did they win last year?
No. This was the first MSI SKT's ever won.
Who won last year? I don't care who won last year. I'll be honest with you.
Doesn't matter.
It's really irrelevant.
It was kind of a big deal. This is the only tournament that SKT has participated in and also not ever won a trophy from. So they've won Worlds. They've won LCK.
And they've won IEM, too.
And they've won IEMs. So this was the last one. This was the last nail in the coffin.
So now they're the true champions.
They're the straight-up world champions.
Now they are the best team in the world officially because they have now won everything.
On every international stage ever.
All right, so now they can retire.
Yeah, right? That's what I would do. I mean, hang it up, boys.
Yeah, at this point, you have nothing left to prove in this world.
Give somebody else a chance. Jesus Christ.
Seriously, give peace a chance.
Give peas a chance?
Give peace a chance.
Peas.
Yeah. Who's peas?
Peas.
Peas?
Yeah, like the little green vegetables. Sometimes you mash them up.
I don't mash up peas. I think that's weird. I eat them one by one, though.
You do eat them one by one? Do you count your bites when you do it?
No, I do eat peas one by one, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I like it, though. Whatever. whatever. Don't judge me, monkey.
I think Dahmer ate his peas one by one, too.
He might have, but he also ate people one by one.
Yeah.
So I don't do that. I just eat peas one by one. It's no correlation notes whatsoever.
We'll see.
So SKT... One, they beat Royal Never Give Up, or as we like to call them, the other RNG. But I guess now they're the only RNG.
No, they're definitely the only RNG.
We'll go into that.
Well, I mean, in group stage, I guess. I mean, SKT beat CLG in the finals.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. Yes. I am backwards. My apologies.
Yeah, and even then, I think they lost to RNG a couple of times.
Who? SKT?
SKT.
SKT lost to RNG once.
Once.
They were 1-1 in group stages against them.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't really have a great group stage performance, SKT. If you look at it, 6-4.
No, finished 4th, actually, yeah, in stages, which is kind of surprising, but they'd kind of been a little bit in the middle of the road, even in ALCK during the season.
Little
they just
flumpy.
Sort of turned it on at the end, which is kind of what they just seem to do.
They always do it. They always drop game one.
Yeah, that seems like, to be... just even in the season, like, they just weren't a great team record-wise during LCK until the end when the games kind of mattered and, you know, the playoffs and whatever, and it's like, oh, wait, that's right, they're the best team in here. Sorry, we forgot.
Do you think Koma just kind of actually shows up to work and with his little, what are they, those sticks that they use to whip horses?
A crop?
He's got one of those. He's just walking around everybody while they're in solo queue, just kind of cropping them.
I hope not. That thing fucking hurts. That would suck.
Well, there's only one way to be the best.
I think that they're really just... I think at this point, you know, they're just... Like, the guys in SKT know that they're the best, so it's just they assume that when the time comes, they'll just be there. And they know that the wins are going to be there because they can just kind of reach down and be like, oh, that's right, we're better than you, we'll beat you, and they do. Mm-hmm. And I think now they know that they're so good that they phone in the first half of a season.
Yeah, or first half of a tournament.
Whatever you say. It's just as long as they're in it, they're dangerous. You know, they're not one of those teams where it's like, oh, you know, look, they're 6-4. They've you know, the teeth aren't as sharp as they once were. No, it's like they're 6-4. They're into the, you know, they're out. They made it out of group stages. They're still incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Still have to play them.
There's never a time going up against SKT where you're like, okay, we totally got this.
The only time SKT isn't dangerous is if you are in a bracket that doesn't have to play them.
Yeah, or if you are SKT.
Yeah, they are not dangerous to you if you do not have to play them. Then they become dangerous once you do have to play them.
Yeah.
Royal Never Give Up found that out.
I think everybody found that out.
Well, obviously everyone found that out.
Yeah.
But Royal Never Give Up, I think, were the team that going in, it was like, you know, they're this year's Edward Gaming, I guess we'll say.
They're supposed to be the big powerhouse?
They're an incredibly strong team from top to bottom.
And they look strong, too.
With you know, Mata is kind of their, you know, he's their evil genius at the top of the team there.
Oh, don't put that juju on him. Don't call him evil genius.
Well, obviously.
You're going to inadvertently curse him.
Obviously there's something, and he already has a world championship under his belt too.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on Samsung,
right?
So Mata, don't worry, Mata's already got that hardware. Yes, and they have Looper in top lane, so that's their Korean back, you know, their Korean line. I don't know, whatever you want to call
Ringers.
It. Yeah, they're imports. And you know, they're good. Obviously, there's no one's saying that they're not good. But it's just, again, it's a typical kind of Chinese fashion where you have this great team full of these great players in this big tournament that they totally have a chance to win. And then when mm-hmm. the chips are down the line, they don't show up.
I mean, they kind of showed up.
They got 3-1 by SKT.
I think SKT is the ones that actually showed up. They were like, oh, right, we have to play this again.
Right, but I think RNG was the only team in this whole tournament that you looked at from top to bottom, and you were like, this is a team that can probably go toe-to-toe with SKT, and they could not.
No, they did in group stage.
Right, but that doesn't matter. Again,
it kind of mattered.
We just established that as long as SKT is looking at it, like, as long as we get out of this, I don't care if we're first seed or fourth seed. As long as we're seeded, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Because they went in fourth seed, having to play first seed, Royal Never Give Up, mm-hmm. and they 3-1 them.
Yeah. Handily.
Yeah, straight up, like, don't worry about it. We got this, coach.
Right. I don't know if that was so much as RNG playing poorly as much as it was SKT actually playing well again.
I'm not saying RNG played poorly. What I'm saying is they were looked upon as a team that could go toe-to-toe with SKT, mm-hmm. and they couldn't. They brought their game, and it wasn't enough.
It's never enough.
that's the point that I'm making. I'm not saying that they came in and played shit. Maybe they could have played better. I don't necessarily know. I don't pretend to know a lot about the Chinese scene. I know enough that, you know, them and Edward Gaming are really good teams, but they fall into the same trap every single time where they just don't have enough, which is why these Chinese teams keep getting into the finals or keep getting into the, you know, as in deep into the dance, but then they're not there, you know. They're on the ballot for prom king and queen, but they're never the winners.
Or if they are the winners, they get pig's blood dumped on them. I
Exactly.
mean,
It's a big joke, and they're not actually the winner.
yeah, it's
It's
tough. That's a tough life to live. We
tough.
should probably be more careful around them.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's so I don't know. And but the CLG SKT final, first of all,
So,
incredibly unexpected.
and kind of a heartbreaker.
Let's throw that one out. But I think, you know, CLG had their Cinderella moment. You know, unfortunately, against SKT, the clock struck midnight,
Yeah. Well, the whole tournament,
the carriage turned back into a pumpkin.
the whole tournament was CLG's Cinderella story.
That's what I'm saying. It
Yeah.
was their Cinderella moment, especially 3-1-ing the Flash Wolves,
Yeah.
which I don't think. I mean, Flash Wolves were going in, were super hyped, where people were like, "This is the, you know, Southeast Asia finally. You know, this is like they're legit. You know, it's ever since in season 2 when
TPA.
TPA won. You know, this is a Southeast Asia legit team. They're fucking legit." And CLG took them to task.
Oh, yeah.
3-1, I mean, boom, you're out. Next.
With kind of weird picks, too.
Yeah, and
Right?
that, I mean, you know, really prioritizing Ryze for Hoohee, and it worked.
And Sana.
Well, yeah, and Sana. But Sana's one of those picks who she's always decent.
She's never good.
She's super safe. She's never bad, but she's never,
She's
like,
super not safe.
overpowered.
She has like the lowest starting health
No,
of any
I'm
champion
saying.
in the game.
I'm saying she's like she creates a safe lane for you as long as she plays incredibly careful for her.
I don't know. I totally disagree with the Sana pick still, even though they won
I
with
don't
it.
know. I don't know. I don't hate it in the right hands, man.
I think
Strong.
if Aframu had been just a hair less confident on it,
But
it
that's the
would have
difference.
totally fallen apart.
Right, but Aframu was confident on it. Plus, I mean, listen, the Flash Crescendo
Oh yeah.
is a dangerous weapon.
But it's like a 3 minute cooldown.
Yeah, but
Three and
in
a half.
the right hands, man, at the right time, Flash Crescendo, that's a game. That's a fucking game changer.
Don't know. There's easier champions that are safer and do the same thing Sana does even better.
Right, but easy and safe doesn't always win you games.
I mean, it kind of does. That's why Aphra plays Soraka so much. It's easy and safe, and it wins games.
They won games though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they not? Did they or did they not 3-1 the Flash Wolves?
No, they totally did.
Okay then, so it
I'm
worked.
just saying, it was looking pretty hairy there for a minute with that
Yeah,
Sana pick.
but you want to know what? That's people don't expect it. If you go in with what you expect to see, it gets countered hard because that's what they're waiting to see.
That's what
They're
happened
waiting
with
for
SKT.
you to fall into your comfort picks, and you know, when you throw something out of them, they're like, "Oh, that's a dumb pick." They do exactly what you just said, and then they lose. And then you look like an asshole because it's like, "Oh, but it shouldn't have happened that way." But it did. So I don't know what to tell you. You got outplayed. That's all it comes down to. You know, that's where the player, you know, where you see the where you see the true skill of a player is when they take a champion that's not, you know, typically meta, and that's not, you know, maybe in an OP place as far as the skills, abilities, items, what have you go, and you're still able to play at a fairly dominating level. And I think that shows where Aphro is as far as supports go in not just North America, but in the world.
It could have blown up in his face so hard,
Easy, very
though.
easily. But I mean,
Although
that's kind of.
the best part about those Sana games was Crepo eating his words the entire game.
Well, good.
That was amazing.
That's because Crepo is a bitter, and it's going to sound mean saying it, and I don't mean it in a mean-spirited way. I mean it in the physical sense of it. He's a bitter loser.
Oh, that was a little mean.
Okay,
It's a
but
little
here,
mean. Way harsh, Ty.
define me this. What has he won in his career?
That's a good point.
Okay,
I think he won something with CLG Black.
I don't mean he's a loser in the sense that he's not a cool guy. He's just a loser. I mean, he's a loser in a sense he's never won shit.
Yeah.
And he trades off of being really good at Blitzcrank and you know, later on in his career. But essentially, he's just trading off of a champion that, yeah, he was good with, but he still didn't win anything with. Sure, they played some really classic matches, but when push comes to shove, you didn't win shit. CLG Black didn't win shit.
I thought they won something.
No, they didn't win shit.
No. Anyways, it was pretty funny. He totally disagreed with the Sana pick.
Yeah. Listen, rightfully so. He should have disagreed. Yeah. Any player, you know, player with half a brain that understands the meta currently in the game would have looked at that pick and said, that's a dumb pick.
Why are you a dumb pick? Sana?
You're a dumb fucking person for picking a dumb fucking champion. Except he played it right.
He made it work.
Yeah, he made it work. That's how you win these kind of games. Because you want to know what? I'll be honest with you. As far as talent level goes, Flash Wolves were better than CLG. Talent on paper, Flash Wolves were a better team than CLG.
I think pre MSI, you're right.
I'm just well post MSI, it obviously isn't true because.
Well, yeah, I think if we look at it with the through the lens of these two teams in a.
I still think the Flash Wolves are a more talented team. I just don't think as far as teams go, they're a better team. They're a more talented team, but not a better team.
Talented individuals.
Exactly what I mean. That's what you're looking for. I mean their individual skills as players.
They don't come together as a team as well.
Yeah, they're a team with more talent. But CLG is a better team.
Right.
And that's where you win and lose these games. They have, you know, CLG, their communication is on point. You know, their individual skill is good enough where they're not going to just flat out get steamrolled because they can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just good enough, and they make plays as team.
Right.
So that's where they are propelling them above the Flash Wolves. Because the Flash Wolves, I mean, you know, Karsa is world-class jungler.
Right.
It leaps and bounds better than X-Mithy. I know he's a question. There's nobody in the world who can sit there, including X-Mithy, who could say that Karsa is not better than him.
I mean, you could even see it in those games. Karsa had a way bigger impact than X-Mithy.
Exactly. I mean, Sword Art, yeah, maybe he's not as good as Afro Mu, but he's probably in the same conversation in that regard. I do believe that they're pretty close.
I don't think Sword Art could pull out a pocket Sana pick and then just blow everyone away with it.
But that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that their skills are close. Regardless, from top to bottom, the Flash Wolves are a more talented individual team than from top to bottom CLG is. But CLG plays as a team better, and that's why they won. Because they trust their crazy picks that nobody else in the world would think to do. And they believe in each other enough that when you see Aframu saying, you know, pick me Sana, and the guy's like, what? Why? Please don't do this.
Please not now.
Zach, don't do this. No. I got this. Okay. You're the boss. Literally, you're the boss. You're in charge. You're the boss. We're going to do it. So, and that's why they won. That's why CLG handily beat the Flash Wolves, just like SKT handily beat Royal Never Give Up, which puts those two teams, CLG and SKT1, into the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, then clock strikes midnight, characters into a pumpkin, horses turn into rats, and CLG gets 3-0'd.
Yeah, it was rough. It was tough to watch.
They were losing these games in Champ Select.
You know what? I don't think the champion... The picks and bans had a whole lot to do with
they
it.
They tried so hard. I just don't think they had something strong to back up the we're prioritizing Rise. And the same bans were done in game one that were done in game two.
Yeah, same picks too. It was identical, the exact same game.
Yeah, identical picks ban phase.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why? It didn't work the first time. It's the definition of insanity is trying the exact same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah.
Why would you think if it didn't work the first time that it's going to work now?
They could take apart that game and even not do any bans and picked whatever they want. TLG could have picked whatever they wanted. I think they probably still would have lost.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think SKT, probably wins that matchup, 9 times out of 10.
And CLG looked a little shaken, too, coming into it.
I just don't think CLG expected to be there, and I think
they didn't realize they were going to make it that far.
I really think that CLG was sort of like, fuck, we actually have to play SKT now. We have to go up against the best player in the world.
Motherfucker.
You know, this is two-time world champions. We have to face this. Oh, no. You know, and I mean, game one was...
Just every time, every lane got dismantled.
35 minutes because it's just under 35 minutes. Game two, 34 minutes. Game three, 37 minutes. I mean, these aren't long games.
Yeah, and CLG didn't play particularly poorly either. It's just whatever strategy that they were trying to do was not coming together in every single game.
Yeah, no, and they didn't get blown out in any game. Okay, except the third game. They kind of got blown out in the third game.
They kept trying to play to their win strategy.
The 24-7 in the game three wasn't too pretty.
I know.
With the 22,000 gold deficiency.
I know.
Oh, God. I never realized looking at those numbers as it was happening. I mean, they only had one tower.
It was bad.
One tower, no dragons, no barons, to 11 towers, 5 dragons, 2 barons for SK. My God.
It was a schlocking.
That is just a straight-up dismantling. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew Wolf was like 1-0-20.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, the Wolf
went off.
Bottom lane. Bottom lane was a combined 11-2-29.
It was all Wolf? I say that. It wasn't all Wolf, but Wolf played...
I was like, no, Wolf was great.
He played very well, especially on a Nami.
And he played Nami all three games.
Which was super weird.
He played Nami all three games and played great on her all three games.
Amazing.
You know, the third game where it's just... I mean, I feel like CLG was really trying to pull something out, and it just stayed
just dead. Didn't come together.
No, their strategy was really bizarre. Trying to think that last game, who did they first pick? Was it like Maokai they first picked?
I thought Darshan was on Echo
in the final game.
You'll have to look it up.
No, that's what I'm actually looking up right now. Yeah. The final game, they first picked Maokai. CLG first picked Maokai. It was Maokai, Ryze, Lucian, Kindred, Soraka, Poppy, Elise, Caitlyn, Cassiopeia, Nami.
Oh, right, the Cass pick on Hui.
Yeah, that was the other bizarre pick.
That was kind of strange. Although, I think he was trying to make something work, right?
It's the last game. I respect kind of, you know, throwing shit against the wall, seeing if it sticks. It didn't stick.
No, it didn't.
I do laugh that all three games, Ugugli on Soul got banned.
Yeah, I kind of get why too. And it was just—I think CLG only got to play their Aurelion Soul strat once. They played in the beginning of group stage, and blew someone away with it, and it was hilarious because Huhi would do the black hole right down the middle lane, and then you know you can see it coming because it gets the size of the entire map, and so the whole team would scatter, and then CLG would just take a turret. And they just kept doing that right down middle lane until they got an inhibitor. It's actually fairly cheesy and brilliant.
Hey, listen, man. Cheese is how CLG wins this game sometimes.
It totally worked.
You know, can anybody say Ginsu's Tristana in the LCS finals? You do what works, man. Listen, it's not cheesy if you win.
No, it's still cheesy.
That is just a good strategy.
It's still cheesy.
I don't know, man.
Proxy racks, still cheesy. Wins games. Wins
games.
Yeah.
But listen, as far as a region goes, North America, we're proud as hell.
Hell yeah.
Our team showed up.
We didn't get totally pummeled throughout the entire tournament.
Made it out of groups, number one. I think that's the biggest the biggest takeaway right off the bat is we made it out of groups and we're actually second place.
Yeah.
And it's only a game out of first.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if fucking stupid ass CLG doesn't drop a game to Supermassive, we're tied for first. Like, really, CLG?
You got kaboomed. Drop a
game to Supermassive, you got kaboomed.
That's what happens.
Straight up kabooming.
You get all in your head.
On the other side, being so proud of CLG, so happy that we're there, Europe has got to be fucking beside themselves that G2 goes 2-8.
I don't even know how you do that.
I do. You go on vacation before.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot that
That
they.
is exactly how you. That is you guarantee yourself that,
It's what
man.
happens when you show up to the tournament half drunk on Mai Tais.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, if you're gonna get drunk on something, at least you're drunk on Mai Tais. More power to you.
Right.
But don't do it before a major tournament that actually has implications
In
for worlds attached to it.
a tournament where you know everyone is boot camping around you.
Yeah. And listen, you just won LCS in Europe. You're the cream of the crop, man. Everyone's looking at you going, we need to do what they did. And now they're looking at you going, thank God we don't do what they do.
Yeah, thank God.
Because number one, they got fucking pub stomped in group stages. Number two, they're also a team that's apparently in incredible amounts of internal turmoil.
Turmoil.
Yeah.
Jinx.
You owe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. You owe me a Coke.
No, I called the jinx.
You didn't count to 10,
You don't
though.
have to count to 10.
Yes, you
No, you
do.
don't.
You obviously don't know how
No,
to
you don't.
jinx.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
So, anyway, they are in a bad spot right now where nobody knows what the hell team's going to show up next split, which, by the way, isn't that far away.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think war roster lock is like next week.
Was it the 17th as of recording now? I think it starts at the beginning of June.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I'm not 100% sure when roster lock is, but it's soon.
Yeah.
Because I know that they gave with the bannings, they gave those teams 10 days to sell their spots because that's when roster lock was, I think.
Right.
So it's got to be coming up. So I don't know what the hell their team is.
Because we know Emperor's probably leaving.
Well, Perks and Trick want to stay together. That was number one. And Kickass is just kind of there. I don't think he's
Yeah,
going
I
anywhere.
don't think Kickass gives a fuck as long as he's on a decent team.
And listen, he was perfectly fine this season.
Yeah,
Perfect.
he played okay.
He played very well,
He
actually.
had some moments where he was kind of going full retard.
Well, half of Kickass's game is full retard. So it is what it is. It works for him. That's just kind of how he rolls. That's what he was with Unicorns. That's what he
Right.
is with G2.
But at some point you gotta figure out when to go full retard. Are we saying retard too much? When to go full Kickass
When to go full kick,
and
is
when to
that it?
dial it back?
I guess, but regardless, he's not a problem. It's not like you have to replace him, and
No.
really, he's just happy to be on a team that doesn't suck.
Right.
So the real big problem is their bot lane. Apparently, Emperor is, I think he wanted to go home. I'm not sure if it was he wanted to go home because he missed home, or he wanted to go home because he doesn't like being on the team.
Maybe Ocelot forced him to wear funny scarves.
I don't know. And I just don't know if they're really happy with hybrid. I don't know why. He was really
He was
good.
quite good.
He was I guess I don't know, is it our lack of knowledge of the game that we watch hybrid and we see a really good support and other people watch the game and see a really mediocre support?
I don't know. I think it's people
Or
thinking.
people are just trying to be like super analysts to be like,
I
no,
think everyone
obviously
thinks
there's a
every
problem.
support's supposed to be Yellow Star, and
Yeah, who
that's not the way
also
it
everyone
works.
was saying, 6 weeks ago, Yellow Star sucks, everyone was saying.
So dumb.
Everyone's like, oh, Yellow Star, look, he's fucking terrible. Shit mechanics, blah, 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 blah. No. Yellow Star is a gift to you. You are welcome. You get to see him when he plays. It is a gift. Stop being a douchebag. So, which that'll be another conversation that we have, the Yellow
Yeah.
Star conversation. That's gonna be fun.
It'll probably be today.
I'm sure it'll be today. It needs to be today. So, anywho, so apparently, yeah. So hybrid apparently isn't good, I guess.
Yeah,
Nobody
news
told
to
me.
us.
Yeah, no, nobody told me that. He was on my fantasy team. He was one of my best players. Well, I guess I'm the idiot. So Yellowstar.
Perks?
Well,
Tricks.
Emperor and hybrid. No, Emperor and hybrid are apparently gone. They're not going to be with G2 as it seems. And because Perks and Trick want to play together, rumor has been swirling around Origin. Because apparently Zven and Mithy aren't happy either.
God, nobody's fucking happy.
Nobody's
These
happy. And
guys.
listen, to be fair, with the way Origin finished the season, they salvaged something, but it wasn't a good season for Origin.
No,
I mean, Origin finished in the top four in the world last year. And here they look like a middling team in Europe where they should have been destroying teams. So apparently Sven and Mithy aren't happy with the attitude of Origin as an organization.
I kind of get that.
Because, and I think it's kind of what everyone has always suspected, but it's never been said outright, is that the organization really mails it in until the playoffs come. I mean, look, right now, Origin as a team has been a team that cannot keep a coach.
Right. Well, they don't want one.
They're uncoachable. That's why. And listen,
they don't want one.
They don't. Maybe they don't need a coach, but they don't have one, and they can't keep one because they don't listen to them and they don't care.
Yeah,
that's kind of a problem.
That's a big problem.
It's kind of a problem. Even if you think you're the best player in the world and you don't need it because you've been in the playoffs so many times, it doesn't matter. You need a coach.
You have to listen to somebody.
Yeah, you need somebody who's looking at the game through unobjective eyes, who's seeing you and looking at your flaws and telling you what not to do next time, instead of playing Yorick and thinking it's a good pick.
Did he play Yorick this
no,
season?
No, it wasn't this season. Oh, okay. I'm just saying in general. I'm just saying so as just yeah. so as things. Picking Yorick. So they're uncoachable, and I think Sven, who has a very similar mindset set to Reckless, and Mithy, who's a douchebag but just wants to win, I think that they're in a position where they're kind of fed up with that attitude, and they want a team that's going to be as dedicated to winning as they are.
Right.
Where they want to go out there and win every possible game.
You kind of see this trend a lot. There's always two different types of players. There's players that just kind of want to play, and then there's players that just want to win.
Yeah. Playing and winning are two very different things.
And it seems difficult to get a team that just wants to win.
Yeah, well, because I feel like that team, if you have a team that's all business and not really enjoying themselves any, they're going to burn out fast. And the moment you lose, everything's going to fall apart. You know, you have a team full of forgivens, you got a bad team in terms of their attitude. Mechanically, skill-wise, desire to win, it's great. But, you know, you're sort of a bad teammate.
Because you only get the one good season out of them, and they fall apart at the first fumble.
And then they don't want to be around anymore because they want a better deal themselves. Because it's your fault or your fault. It's never their fault. And that's, I think, what a situation. And I'm not saying Sven and Mithy are wrong here. I just think that they want to be in a situation where everyone wants to get better and improve. Because the thing is you could take this Origin team and put them right back in the Final Four of Worlds, and they're not going to win. Because they haven't gotten better.
Right. If anything, they've gotten worse.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm just saying is that no matter what, taken in a vacuum, they're not a better team than they were last season. In no way, shape, or form are they better. And I think that's the part where Sven and Mithy are getting frustrated about it, because they're not getting better. They're not improving. They're not a competition for the Korean teams that dominate the tops of the leagues. They're just not a competition for them right now.
It's a lot of no's.
Yeah, it's a lot of bads. And I think Sven and Mithy, at least Sven, I think, recognizes that and wants to be in a squad that maybe does. And, you know, G2 going on vacation, I don't know whose idea it was.
Oh, my God.
But I think that those two are sort of hoping that if you stay with Trick and Perks and Kickass, if you put those two into that situation, then you got something. Because, number one, you're not putting a lot of moving parts in because you have a lane that has already played together.
Right.
Just being inserted into a team. And, you know, with bot lane kind of being on an island anyway in their own little world, the jungler just has to get used to how they do things to sort of integrate himself into it, which isn't that difficult anyway.
Right.
Because you're just sort of doing your thing. And really, mid and top, it doesn't affect them any.
Right. It's a much easier switch than trying to force a new support onto an ADC.
Exactly. Exactly. That's. And so, I again, I'm just, this is pure speculation. None of this is fact. But this is where things seem to be falling to. And listen, may, next week we may see this completely wrong and G2 ends up being the exact same team as they were, but I just sort of highly doubt that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, everything's all in a kerfluffle.
But it just looked like, I mean, I just feel like that this MSI really exposed a lot of the internal problems that are happening in Camp G2, and we're going to see a shift in that as soon as the games start to be played again.
I mean, come on, who goes on vacation right before a giant tournament where something's actually on the line?
I know, and when you're the winners of the LCS, like, how do you let things fall apart so bad? It's just so silly. It just seems so, so foolish. It just seems so foolish to me.
I get taken, you know, a day or two off, right?
Fine, you know, earned it. You've earned it.
You got, you know, you do your hard boot camp 2 days before the tournament. You know, you fucking do your little 80s montage.
Right.
And you're fucking skateboarding around, where were they, Shanghai?
I think so.
Like, you know, and jumping over construction sites and stuff like
that. Rollerblading, you know, all that kind of things.
But then, you know, back to business.
Yeah, you know, it's a tournament. Yeah, you need to. You don't need to win it because no one expects you to win it, but just have a good showing.
Yeah, at least, you know, go to work.
Come, you know, you don't show up to your, you know, your big court case wearing shorts and a shirt that says "fuck cancer" on it. You know, you just don't do that. You got to be professional. You got to act like you've been there before.
Not like you're fucking sunburned
this isn't summer school.
It's not Weekend at Bernie's, guys.
Yeah, this isn't summer school, man. You know, you're not you have a job to do that you get paid to do. This is your job. This is your job. Show up and do your job properly. That is all.
Yeah, write that down.
There's no reason to you know, just have such a poor performance because you just weren't ready. And it's like, oh, my bad. Well, yeah, it is your bad. You're right.
Oh, shit, tournament's this weekend? I thought it was next weekend.
That's the player's bad. That's the management's bad for letting it happen.
That's everyone's bad.
It's everybody in Camp G2 you're all to blame. You all fucked up. Europe needs to be mad at you. And you deserve to be mad at. You know, you deserve people being pissed.
Yeah.
Because you fucked up. But now that what that does, though, is it leaves a huge open open gap in North America, or in Europe now, rather.
Does it?
Well, yeah, because G2 were fairly head and shoulders above everyone going into that.
Right.
Going, you know, at the end of the season. And now they're a team that you don't know what the hell they're going to have next season. So Europe looks wide open to me.
Well, that's because no one in Europe has a roster yet.
Right? You might be correct on that.
I mean, even if some do, it's subject to change.
Yeah, there's no 100% roster right now.
We know Freeze is on H2K, right? We know
H2K does have a full roster.
They do?
Yes, because it's Odawamne, Yankos, Ryu, Vander, Freeze.
Okay.
So HUK's got a roster.
Forgiven might be going somewhere.
Forgiven is rumored to be... He's rumored with Origin, but again, nothing is written in stone. Nothing has been... you know, this is all speculation.
Yeah.
Nothing has been confirmed. There's the new team that bought Element Spot, the soccer team.
Mm-hmm. Football. You're weirdo.
European football. Soccer for our American listeners and viewers. FC Schalke 04.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. I'm not
sure.
That
seems like a lot of stuff going on in that name. FC Schalke 04.
Well, FC stands for football club.
Oh, okay. What's the 4?
The 04? That's an excellent question.
I hope I hope it's like just their lucky number.
I think it's because they were founded in 1904.
Or it's the number of people that they've killed.
It's because they were founded in 1904.
Oh, that's so boring.
They're FC and let's see. It's Schalke, and I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced. Schalke?
Say
Schalke?
It with a German accent.
Schalke.
Okay, that's probably it then.
Good say one. It with Thanks. A German accent, Schalke.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Very accurate. It's like like I'm in Berlin right now.
I do believe that they take part. Let's see. Hold on. Yep, and they are in the Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga.
Oh, which is, by the way, the best
Sounds
league,
like a Vesson.
the best Liga of them all. There is a, on a side note, I think it's, I want to say it's a, like a, like a
Sorry,
highlight show for them.
almost had a spit take.
Don't. There's a highlight show for the Bundesliga, and it is the best name ever for a show.
Bundesliga.
No, it's called Bundesliga Hallo.
That's gorgeous.
That's the name of the show.
I love
It's, yeah, so we're getting, so we as in, you know, us Europeans, we're not Europeans, but
it. Yeah, us.
we as in European League of Legends fans are getting a football club, which is a big deal when you think
It is a
about
big
it.
deal. It's as big as, Rick Fox buying a team.
It's, yeah, they're a real fucking organization. A team, a soccer, a football team that has been around for 112 years
Yeah.
has bought a League of Legends team.
I wonder who's gonna run it.
You mean who's their coach?
Coach or
Their coach
manager
is currently NIF.
or... Oh, okay.
I mean, as of right now, it's all of Elements with Fox.
That's not bad.
I mean, they're still under contract until October, the players.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, look, you buy a spot, you look at it as an investment, maybe you fix it in the next season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, technically, that FC Schalke isn't the only isn't the first football club to buy a League of Legends team, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but the last one was in the Turkish league.
That doesn't count.
It was Beşiktaş.
Doesn't count.
I know,
Sorry, Beşiktaş.
does not count. Sorry, Beşiktaş, you're not a real team.
That's so mean.
You're not an actual. You're not an actual team. Ergo, you do not matter.
Ouch.
But still on these roster moves, we have Fnatic with Yellowstar back in there. Surprise,
I
surprise,
never would have guessed.
surprise, motherfuckers.
I never would have guessed that he would go
Never
back to
saw that. Never
Fnatic.
saw that. Did you see the video that they produced
So
for it?
dumb.
When it was like he was in bed and he wakes up and he looks and there's this jersey and he's like, "Oh,
Next to his refrigerator filled with Monster.
oh yeah."
Like, who
I wonder
needs
who
that much
sponsors them.
Monster?
Nobody, because you'll
You
die.
will literally die. And I drink a
You'll
lot of Monster. I don't need that much
drop the
Monster.
fuck dead. So it's like, oh look, YOLO Star is back. But I you know, jokes aside about that, that instantly makes them such a better team.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyone with Yellow Star on paper becomes a much better team.
Right, but now you look at all the problems that Fnatic had with continuity and really just sort of a lapse of a unified voice. Yellowstar fixes all of that.
Yeah.
Now you have Reckless being able to focus on being AD carry, focus on being Reckless again. Yellowstar takes over as running the show. He's your shot caller. He's your captain. He's your fucking roaming beast of a support.
Yeah, he's also a support that enables other lanes to do well.
Exactly. Forbiven, rather, he can relax a little bit more, you know, get a little help, kind of know what's going on because he trusts who's calling the shots. You know, it's going to allow Spirit to kind of like open up his game a little bit more. And Gamzu's Gamzu, who cares?
Who cares?
Cares. Who cares?
He'll be fine.
Yeah,
And
he'll be
he does
fine.
show up a lot of weaknesses.
I really think that that fills a lot of problems that Fnatic had last season, who weren't a terrible team. They weren't
No.
great, but they weren't bad.
They
And
meandered.
they went through two different supports and had their AD carry calling shots. So lots of weird things happening. I do believe that Fnatic will. I mean, I'm not saying that they're gonna go undefeated. But I believe they're going to definitely be contending for a top three position.
I would agree. I also think Fnatic's, even without Yellowstar, they were contending for a top three position with their roster.
They're definitely they have enough talent. I think this really puts them in a position where they're back in a comfort zone.
Although, don't pick Spirit for your fantasy league. Dude doesn't get points.
Although
Sorry.
towards the end of the season he started to get
He
points when you tr
didn't.
when I traded him to me when I traded him, well, you traded him to me. Although I gave you Dardock, and the two times I played Dardock, you didn't get me dick.
And every time I played Dardock, he fucking won me games.
Yeah, I got Dardick, and you got fucking son of a bitch.
Dick Doc?
Dick, no. I don't know. Dick TikTok? But so basically, other than those teams, the rest of NA or EU is all up in fucking nobody knows. I don't, Splice may have a full roster. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I'm interested to see how Freeze does on H2K.
That team is really good.
Yeah, it's they a little scary.
They are very good, and I think this is finally a time when Freeze isn't the best player on his team.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
I think this is the first time where you look at their roster and you're like, wow, he doesn't have to carry because he's not the best player.
Yeah, it's not and all on Freeze.
Yeah, and I think that, just that simple fact is going to make him have an incredible season. Because Vander's like the Terminator in bot lane. I mean, he's like the most stoic, emotionless, like, I will break you. Like, he's like Ivan Drago down there.
Which Terminator? T-1000?
Oh, yeah, no, he's
T-9000?
No, T-1000.
Oh, okay.
He's
not the Lady Terminator that has a flamethrower?
No, that one's dumb. I don't even respect that Terminator.
She's got a flamethrower.
No respect. Zero. So, that lane, I believe, is going to be very, very strong. And, in, you know, Jankos is just probably the best jungler in Europe right now.
He's one of them, at least.
First Blood King. First Blood King Jankos. I mean, you just look at their team, and it's just really built for success.
Yeah.
And there's, like, no egos now, because now you've removed Forgiven from the equation.
Right.
So all of the egos are gone. I think there's just a team that wants to win. I think they're going to be contending for a top three spot as well. Yeah. Beyond that, the third spot is up for grabs.
Well, who the hell knows what kind of teams we're going to have
exactly.
Into it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, then you hop the pond and you go to North America and I mean, Cloud9 has this ridiculous roster.
Yeah.
Picking up Impact, bringing back Nidios.
Which I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, he's had some time off.
Well, you they know, had to bring
he
back
plays
Nidios.
A ton. Yeah. I know they
because
had
they,
to.
Because they couldn't use Rush.
Right.
And have Impact and
Jensen.
And Jensen. And yeah. Listen, you just picked up Impact. You're not sending him to your bench team.
Right.
And you're not benching Jensen because he was like the best mid laner in North America last season.
No, I understand the logic behind it.
And they're going to be working with a 10-man roster. So you're going to see
it may or may not be Nidios every single game.
Yeah,
sometimes it'll probably be high.
Yeah, it may not be Impact every single game. It could be Balls and Rush. You know, they're going to have a rotation going depending on how things go. But on top of that, bringing in Cubs and Reaper to coach them.
Yeah, that's a big one too. That could actually be huge.
Yeah, this could be really big because these are legit coaches you've brought in.
Yeah, and the thing about C9 is when they first came onto the scene, they were winning based on kind of more their coaching and their management than anything else. I mean, they revolutionized the game by writing their picks and bans down.
Amazing that revolutionized the
game.
You
know.
By recording on paper.
They have these really talented players on top of hopefully a very effective coaching staff.
Theoretically, a coaching staff that brings a new mindset to their team.
Yeah.
Help you know like jumpstart their game because you have to assume bringing in Reaper and then having players like Impact, players like Rush, who play that Korean style with a Korean coach, it's gonna improve everybody all around. Because
it's always tough to quantify a coach's effect, though.
Yeah, no, I agree, but we'll see. It can't. I don't think it's gonna make them worse. Let's put
it
that.
No, can't make them worse.
I don't think it'll. I don't think it's gonna. I mean, listen. I don't know if it's gonna. It's gonna be like they're gonna be like 15 wins better.
Oh, and they're playing with Bunny Fufu, right?
Yeah, Bunny Fufu is now the starter. Which
High's on the B team.
Perfectly fine for him to be. Yeah, I guess High is gonna be in jungle because Lemonation is also playing, and he's not gonna play another position.
Yeah.
So, oh no, High I guess is gonna be mid laner.
I don't know.
Because you have Rush.
So it's Rush and Meteos.
It's Rush.
Balls, Impact.
Balls, Impact, Rush, Meteos, High, Jensen, Sneaky, and All Tech, and Lemonation and Bunny Fufu.
I don't. Is there a world that you bench Jensen to play high in the LCS?
No. There's a world where you bench Bunny Fufu to play high, but I'm saying on the B team, if they're playing, because it's supposedly their challenger team as well, it's going to be those are going to that you're going to have high in mid lane. There's no way you cannot have him in mid lane because you're not going to play Lemonation in mid lane. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't make sense.
That'd be ridiculous.
Stupid. Renegades and Tip aren't teams right now.
Yeah, they're gone.
They
They got the
don't.
boot.
They got the big old Butowski.
Yeah.
And they have to sell their spots.
Like tomorrow.
And I think Renegade's spot was bought by Envyus, but I'm not 100% sure.
That might be speculation still.
I'm gonna actually just look it up right now. Envyus agrees to terms for Renegade's.
Oh, they totally bought it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was pretty sure it was actually. There's no idea of who their players are, because Crumbs left. So you don't know who's actually
So
sticking around,
did Ninja and Seraph.
and obviously Freeze.
And Freeze.
So they have Hakuho.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. So Renegades is now Envyus, but there's no idea who
What
they
a
have.
dumb name.
Yeah, but they're big in like Call of Duty. And I think they're a Counter-Strike team. They're a
Yeah.
shooter team.
Still a dumb name.
Not a great name. Not a great name. Impulse doesn't have a buyer yet. Nobody knows where their whole team is like free agents. Nobody knows what the hell's going on with them.
Right.
Nobody knows where they're going to end up or what they're going to be.
And Riot stated that they have contingencies for if they can't, if nobody buys the spot.
Sure, I guarantee you it's Dignitas.
Oh, it's gotta be. You know Odie's all up in everybody's asshole. Like,
Oh, yeah.
hey, you know if they can't buy a spot,
Well,
you know,
Odie's probably
we'll
like,
play.
this is bullshit, you know. And in partly he does have an argument
Kind of.
because in a world where franchises should be a thing, which, let's be fair, love or hate Chris Badawi, believe or not believe Chris Badawi, whatever the situation is surrounding Chris Badawi, you like what I did there?
Yeah.
Fixing myself, how I
Yeah.
pronounce his name.
That was good. We're gonna pretend that the first two didn't happen.
Yeah, the first two didn't happen.
Yeah.
Whatever you feel about Chris Badawi is the one thing that he did that is probably good for the league that you can actually point to and quantify while the other things are still up in the air because we have no evidence of anything yet. But the only thing that he did that you can be for sure is he proved that franchises actually work.
Yeah, kind of a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if what he did was good because I think he might have painted franchising in a bad light.
Well, that's the problem.
Inadvertently.
The flip side of that coin is that he put a bad spin on franchises, but in its most base sense of saying you have an LCS team and you have a challenger team, and the players can move freely between those two, yet be separate entities on their own,
Yeah.
you've proven that that works.
Oh, it totally worked.
And it worked because both teams looked better than they did before coming to agreements on players. And you could sit there and argue and say, why would Riot allow the trades to happen if they weren't legal?
Oh, because they were presented to be legal, but they weren't legal.
How could something be presented to be legal but actually not be?
I don't know. You fudged the paperwork. Maybe they forged somebody's signature. I don't know. The whole thing
There's a yes,
is
yeah, I
weird.
agree. The thing is that the lack of transparent evidence and just sort of it being handed down like this is what we've decided, and you know here's the decision, but we're not going to tell you why. That's the part that I have a problem with. It's just like we're not showing you the
Yeah.
reasons and how we came to this agree and the decision, but this is what the decision is. So deal
And
with it.
when you say you don't mean you and me, you mean the owners and the people getting banned. They
I
weren't presented with anything.
yeah, it's like here teams. This that we were investigating you and we found stuff that we didn't like. And because of those things that we found that we didn't like, this is the our decision and you're suspended and you're suspended and you guys can't own teams and your teams have to be sold. But what did you find? Well, that's irrelevant. Well, no, it's actually 100% relevant because this is my livelihood that you are now threatening and you're telling me you have this evidence and you're not telling me what it is. Well, you don't need to know what it is. Well, no, I do. because, I mean, if this was in a court of law, you wouldn't be able to do that ever because that's nonsense.
I want
to
see what the next step is. I want to see if this just all goes away or if there's actually litigation to pursue.
The fact that, yeah, litigation hasn't been levied by Monte Cristo is surprising.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is open and shut. If you if you say, look, I'm hiring a lawyer, you're saying things and you're not presenting me with any evidence, but you're claiming you have it, and now I want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to. Because you can't do that and not have any evidence.
Right.
So that's where I think... you know, I don't know if that speaks to the validity of Riot's claim.
Or the heinousness of...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Does it, yeah. You know, is Monty bullshitting where he's like, oh, I didn't know anything about it. I have no idea. But he really does, and he's just trying to be, like, you know, good guy in Reddit's eyes.
Right.
Or if it's Riot is really kind of scummy.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Monte Cristo gives a shit what Reddit thinks about him.
No, he doesn't. He completely does not.
So him playing the good guy doesn't serve any purpose for him.
When I say Reddit, I just mean the court of public opinion.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about that.
Yeah, the thing is, but the court of public opinion are the ones who play this game, and you get enough people who are on Monte Cristo's side, then it looks bad for Riot, is all I mean.
Yeah, but I don't think Riot cares about that, because there's never going to be enough people that are on Monte Cristo's side.
I don't know. I don't think a game company wants to look bad PR-wise, especially a company that traditionally looks bad PR-wise.
Yeah, Riot can't look good PR-wise. They're not capable of it.
Well, because they do the wrong thing all the time.
Constantly.
And you can almost assume any decision that they're going to make is going to be the wrong one.
Yeah.
At least in situations like this. And listen, Richard Lewis, on Riot's side, yes, that chill you felt was hell freezing over.
Yeah.
I know, right? Like, right up your back, you know? It was like someone danced on your grave or something. But Richard Lewis totally said Riot is right. I saw the situation. The players were, it was a bad, you know, the living conditions were terrible or
that's
something.
That's not what he said. He didn't go into any detail about it.
I thought specifically mentioned.
No, he didn't. He said that he lived there for a period, and he definitely saw things that he agrees with Riot was happening. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. He really didn't say anything, and he said he couldn't say anything because he was afraid of getting smeared.
And he also said that he was going to release an article about it.
I don't know. He might not be releasing that article anymore.
I don't know. This whole situation stinks. And I'm not even saying because I think that Chris Badawi and everyone involved is being...
persecuted?
Being persecuted. Because, listen, they may be fully in the wrong here. That being said, the fact that there is no evidence yet that's been put to light... is just weird to me.
It seems strange. Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying Riot's wrong here, but I don't like the fact that they're the judge, jury, and executioner on this.
And that there's no appeals.
Yeah, that there's no like back and forth. It's not this is what we have. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah.
It's this is what we found in this decision that we made that you weren't a part of.
Especially when Riot prides themselves on always providing context.
Yeah, and it's just kind of ridiculous because it just sort of is like, bang, 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 you're done. But I had nothing to do with any of this, and I didn't even know any of this was happening, and you didn't give me a chance to defend myself or even see what you have so I can attempt any kind of a mm-hmm. semblance of an explanation to maybe say, well, no, this is wrong here, or, oh, I can explain this, or, no, I'm just a piece of shit.
Right.
You know, you gave no sense of that, and the fact that, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I understand it's Riot's game, but you have a competitive league that you're trying to maintain, and you cannot just do that.
You can't just kick people out.
You can't just, yeah, like the commissioner of baseball can't just say, I don't like the Cincinnati Reds anymore, you're out. You can't
you're
do
all
that.
A bunch of racists.
Yeah, you just can't do that kind of thing. It doesn't exist. There's rules for that in place, and Riot doesn't have any of those rules. And I feel like we keep coming back to these same conversations over and over. You know, season one of Tower Dive is just littered with this conversation.
Hours and hours.
And it just does not change. And I don't know why we're the crazy ones. Yeah. I don't why we're the ones wearing the tinfoil hats that are saying this, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, fucking, you're wrong," because I don't have any good reason to say why you're
No,
wrong, but you are because everyone else believes you
the
are.
reason is always, oh, it's right there in the riot terms of service. Oh, fuck your terms of service.
No, dude, they're not. And the thing is, and I love this because I really love this. And again, I'm not saying Batoe's right or wrong. I'm not saying I support him or I don't support him. I support what's best for players and what's best for teams. That's what I care about. But the thing that makes me laugh is when everyone jumps on the bandwagon of him being wrong and him being the bad guy and saying, "See, Riot was always right all along," when there's the same assholes who back then, it's just bandwagoning. It's just pitchforks and torches,
They got
and
to get them internet points.
it's just constantly jumping and saying, "I believe this all along, but look, no, it was this all along." And it's the same people who say, "I can't stand the way Riot handles things." The same people. There's just no consistency. At least you can say with us is we have a consistency about ourselves. We always blame the Riot side of things
Riot.
because it just doesn't feel right.
We tried to defend them in the early stages of this show.
And
We
I
really
listen,
tried.
I want to be able to defend them.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, yes, what they're doing is right. What they're saying is right. The way that they're going about it is right. But they don't provide reasons to believe that. We're just expected to take what they say at face value. And
Yeah.
that is not a way. I just don't believe that. I'm sorry.
Right.
It what they may be saying and the evidence they may have may be so fucking concrete and so fucking legit that to not show it is stupid. Or maybe they're trying to protect something. I don't know, but the fact is that they're not giving us anything.
Right.
They're
Or the
just
teams
yeah.
anything, or the
They're not giving
players anything.
anyone anything, and they're just expecting you to take that at face value, and that should be enough. But they're basically saying, in a nutshell, we said it, that should be enough.
Yeah.
And it's not.
No.
It's not enough. It's
Not when
never
this
going
kind of
to be
money's on the
enough.
line.
No, it's never going to be enough because you are acting as the governing body for your game's professional league. That shouldn't be the way it is. There should be an unbiased someone in charge to make these decisions. You can be part of the decision-making process, but you shouldn't be the decision-making process. That's not how professional leagues work. No one is saying you shouldn't have a say in on your game. It's your game. However you want it to run is however you want it to run. This isn't a game thing. This is a professional sports thing. They're not the same. And for some reason, people don't understand that.
Oh, because esports isn't sports.
But it's not even about it being sports or not sports. This isn't a patch note. This isn't a fucking champion implementation. This isn't changing the icon of Frozen fucking Heart.
No.
This is professional fucking sports.
It's the
These are
careers of 15 people.
careers. These are jobs. This is a big deal, and it's not something that should just be brushed under the rug as I'm sure that they know what they're doing, because it doesn't seem like it ever. This isn't programming, man. You didn't hire the people in your company to handle contract litigation, which is very clear because your contract situations are awful and you have no idea what you're doing and you're just learning as you go along. And it just constantly comes back to that. And it shouldn't be like that. At some point, when you continually fuck up or you continually have something that seems like fishy, you need to fix that and be like, look, we're not built for this. We need to bring in people that are. And it's not that case still. They're still living off of, well, it's our game. We can do what we want. And you can't do that because you're not validating your work.
No, you're
You're
shooting
just
yourself in the foot.
exactly. You're just making yourself look like the asshole again, over and over. Maybe you don't care, and that's fine. Listen. If you don't care that you look like a dumbass in the fucking world of professional gaming, that
World of professional anything.
any other league can look at you and go, look, that's a fucking perfect example of what not to do. And I mean, you can point to numerous examples of how just League of Legends as a professional sport is kind of fucking retarded at times.
Yeah.
The fact that the LCS is the only means of competitive League of Legends in North America and Europe.
Yeah, there's no amateur league. There's no challenger scene.
There's no challenger scene. There's no amateur league. There's no international play until you get to Worlds.
Or MSI.
Yeah, or MSI, which, again, up until now had no fucking consequences. Mm-hmm. And if it did, no one cared about them. You know, this was a step in the right direction, but it's like a baby step in the right direction. You still don't have any kind of international parity yet. And you're not developing it. And you're constantly putting in rules to fucking squelch that.
Yeah.
Where all you're trying to do is keep out international talent from different reasons.
I kind of agree with some of those rules.
Which you agree with them, fine. But you're constantly trying to keep out international talent that's going to push, you know, the same old fucking players out and inject new players in and force players who are good to be better and who are bad and still have jobs to find new jobs because they're just not good.
Let's take one second. Let me jump in right there. Because that's not what happens, though, with those laws. New players don't come in to push out old players. You just get old players from other region to come into weaker region to push out new players that want to be the new players in that region.
But I feel like it's not the new players that are getting it's
either way, the new players are getting screwed.
Yeah, new players are getting screwed one way or the other. Yes. And right, that shouldn't be the case. But I feel like if you're a younger player and you're 16 years old and you're playing amateur League of Legends and you're playing against Korean players because they're allowed to play here, you're going to get better because you have to.
But you're not playing the good Korean players. You're playing the Korean players that are kind of retired and they're just, you know, sucking on the cash cow of North America. They're milking that teat.
But if you can't beat them, what makes you think you're going to beat the other ones?
I mean, that's a good point. But at the same time,
the ones that can't stay in Korea and keep jobs, how the fuck do you expect that you're going to go over there and take on guys who are considered the best in their position in the world? You can't. So every single argument you can say, no matter what, it makes you a better player.
Here's the argument.
The only way you get better is by playing better competitive.
Here's the argument. Let's say you own a team, right? And you have a choice between new upcoming talent coming from the challenger side or retired Korean, you know, professional. You're always going to go with retired Korean, right? You're just going to do it.
No, probably you're right, and I agree. And that's but that's the same thing.
So the upcoming challenger talent never has an opportunity to play against anyone better. Never.
But the thing is that I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case for like every position. And I'm not saying that you're going to say, you know, again, a team full of five Koreans, here we go. That may not be the right thing. But the fact is that there's people that say things at Riot or around Riot that they're working on rules to try and stop Korean dominance.
Right. Yeah, no, I disagree with that. I kind of like it where it is right now, where once they've committed to a region, they can totally get whatever.
In the very near future.
I think that's kind of weird. Like, and also, if they haven't told the teams that they're changing it by now, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like you're afraid because teams are bringing over Koreans. And look, I understand what you're saying, but how many instances of really old Koreans coming to America has worked yet?
None, but they're still doing it.
Right, but I think they're shifting away from that. Bringing in guys like Emperor, bringing in guys like Ninja, bringing in guys like Rush, bringing in guys like Move last season.
Yeah, now they're just bringing young Koreans that are B-listers.
Yeah, but in America,
they're still better. They're still better than most North Americans.
Significantly better. And you want to know what? Hoonie and Rainover were B-listers in Korea.
That's true.
And now look at what they are. So it's not, a lot of these young Koreans that come over that are quote-unquote B-listers are B-listers because they don't get a chance because, again, much like in America, in Korea, it's very difficult to crack the nut when you're behind Mata, when you're behind Faker, when you're behind Insect. You know, you can't get past these guys because they're constantly at the top of their game.
But at least in these Korean teams, you're on a farm squad, right?
Yes, and your job is always at risk.
Yeah, and you're also given opportunities to go up against Mata and Faker and all these people to show what you're worth.
It's higher competition.
On the North American side, you never get that opportunity.
And I say there, you know, there is things that you can take from it that are good and things that are bad, and it's definitely you know, there needs to be a happy medium between
Yeah,
it.
I think we're at that happy medium. I
I
think,
think we're around it. I think
yeah.
we're around it. There is, I think there's a way it can be better. I think there's a way it can be worse, and I'm not sure we've reached the like, you know, the perfect
Sure.
the perfect form of it,
Either way,
we'll
we
say.
don't need to build a wall,
No. And but
and we
we don't
definitely
need
don't need to open up the floodgates either.
Yeah, we don't need to keep trying to push them out, though.
I agree. Yeah.
I think, you
Yeah.
know, I mean, look at Europe. I think Europe having Hooney and Rainover at the time last season or last year made Europe a better region because it forced them to look at the game a little bit differently. And I think they did.
Oh yeah, it totally shifted the focus to top lane and jungle.
Yeah, I think Hooney and Rainover on Immortals really shifted the focus in America again, showing a different style of play. And I think, you know, it's going to continue to be that if you let good players play this game.
Yes.
You know, perfect example, Energy's roster right now. It's like you look at it, they just brought OHQ in, who was on
So many teams.
he was on TDK most recently, and then that fell apart. So Energy picked him up. They still have Gank by Mom, who I think is really, really good. I think he's perfect for
Don't pick him
America.
for your fantasy league.
Doesn't score a lot of points. They have Santorin and Quoth. They're like, okay, that's a
Quoth.
good young, it's a good young team, except with Kiwi Kid as support.
Well, you know.
In a real world situation, you would get a good support, but you can't. But you can't because the only available support is fucking Kiwi Kid, because
Or
you can't import anyone
golden
anymore.
or golden glue.
Who's a mid laner? He's not a support.
Well, look, Hai was a mid laner.
That's it. Good point.
Sheev.
But the fact is that
Is
you shouldn't
he
be
still on
hand.
Liquid?
He's a scumbag.
Yeah.
What I hear is he's a real bad player on your team. I don't think you want that for a team that seems pretty. Although a team that seems pretty happy-go-lucky. The only guy left on the team is Gank by Mom, so it doesn't matter. They just overhauled their whole roster. So you know, I'm interested to see what comes out of that. I mean, Kiwi Kids keep.
I'm interested to see what these Korean rule changes are.
I
Or
if they
import
have
rule changes are.
rule change, yeah. I mean, listen, they're pointed directly at Korea.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want you here because you're better than us, and then we're not getting better because we don't know how to handle this.
We don't know how to take a scrim seriously.
Yeah,
Or how to set up farm teams.
we don't know how to help cultivate talent. We just want to consistently, you know, have Kop be an AD carry for so long because we're content with
We
mediocrity.
love Cop.
He's a coach now.
You can't not like McLovin. I mean, come
Yeah.
on.
It's just ridiculous, though, because that's the problem. North America hangs on to these players
Yeah.
because
Because they stream a lot.
we like them. We
That's
like their
it.
personalities.
Yeah.
You know, Dyrus is like a fucking rock star because he was a somewhat above average top laner for the majority of his career, when in actuality, any good Korean could have replaced him.
Oh yeah, any day.
But they didn't.
But they wouldn't talk like this.
Party wouldn't stream and then be like, oh God, you know, it's just like, who cares?
That's the real issue, I think, us as a culture, as fans, is that we prefer players for their personality, not necessarily their skill.
And that's great if you don't want to win and you don't take winning seriously.
Yeah. We want both. We want fun personalities that we can relate to, but we
Yeah.
also want them to win.
Yeah, we ought to win. And look, Hooney and Rainover were fun personalities. Immortals didn't win.
Yeah.
They were really good in the regular season, and then when it mattered, they folded like a cheap suit.
Yep. Although, you
So
know, expensive suits fold now.
expensive
It's
flu
a
suits do fold
it's an
now.
it's a new thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah. Look at Casey Neistat.
Who?
He's never mind. I won't get into it. It's a whole fashion thing.
Yeah, I don't care.
Sorry.
That's fine. You're fucking dork.
Can't help it.
Can't help it. I think I just really want to end with, now that the new patch is out and we've both played on it,
I have played two games.
I have played, I think, six.
Yeah, I kind of not gonna lie, I kind of have avoided playing League of Legends the last like 2 weeks.
I've kind of shied away from playing it a little
Couple
bit.
reasons. Overwatch,
Which ends on the 10th,
Stardew Valley,
which
which is amazing.
it's just it's
Although
just
I think
hard.
when
It's
you
hard. It's Harvest Moon on
A lot
steroids.
of the people mod it, and I think that kind of ruins the integrity.
There is some new content coming out for it.
Yes, I'm excited about that. And
Multiplayer is one of
number
them.
three, this patch made me so nervous.
I have to say, as
I
soon as
just
I
didn't. I didn't want to learn anything new.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to give my initial reactions, and people can share them. People can think I'm wrong. People can think I'm an idiot.
You're absolutely an idiot.
It's my experiences with it, so you can't tell me I'm wrong. This is just how I feel. The fact that the Warden buff persists through death in the last 20 minutes is dumb.
Warden?
The
Herald.
Herald, excuse me, Warden, yeah.
Herald buff.
I couldn't remember what the hell. I'm like,
See,
Rift.
in the two games I played, nobody killed Herald.
Well, you see, in the six games I played, I usually got Herald around 11 minutes because I prioritized it. As a jungler, I would gank top, we'd get a kill, we'd go get Herald. That's how I handled it every single time.
And did
I'm
you
like,
win these games?
no, we lost a lot of games.
So I think what you're saying is Herald might not be that big of a priority.
Which I said, it's dumb. Although in those games, things went wrong that were not related to the Herald buff, but it could have been my top laner wasn't very good either, which in some of the cases happened. But that being said, I was like, all right, let's get the Warden buff or Herald buff, and let's you're good now. It persists through death. Do something with it, or don't. And that's kind of what it felt like. Number two, the dragon thing is really dumb. I'm not
I'll be honest with you.
into the
We didn't
dragon.
kill a lot of dragons in these games either.
I've seen a lot of dragons, and I worked on making sure, like, I was checking, see what, as the jungler, okay, it's this dragon, which I know gives this, and okay, that's going to really benefit us because of our comp. I was willing to give up dragons that we didn't need. I just don't really like how it works, and I don't like the fact that it stacks.
I don't know. The other team got three Earth Dragons and it just didn't matter. We still killed them.
Yeah, if they had gotten three fire dragons, you'd have never had a chance.
Really?
Yeah, you'd have lost.
We got the Elder Dragon.
Yeah, it's great. I got the Elder Drake too.
It's
It's
a
fun.
cool looking dragon.
Nice.
Also, didn't pay attention to the free buff timers at all.
Oh,
It
the
tells you when they're about to spawn, yeah.
Well, you can just tell the colors of it.
Yeah, I just didn't even look at it.
Well, you weren't really a jungler, so it probably didn't matter to you.
Yeah, that's true too.
As a
But
jungler,
yeah.
I know it affected me enough. It affected me enough.
Yeah.
Where I was like,
Were you getting invaded a lot?
I don't think I was getting invaded anymore, but during the game, there was a lot more action around my buffs, not necessarily early on, but later in the game. And it's definitely a situation where I can see Sightstone being prioritized for a jungler as well now again.
The tracker knife.
Yeah, or flat out buying Sightstone.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with these changes happening in the middle of the season.
These aren't mid-season changes. These are end of season
These
changes.
seems like big changes.
These are something
Because
that,
it's a lot of new information that you have to learn to utilize.
yeah, and that you have to just kind of sift through and then really start to think about, like, and process. Like, you have to process whether or not fighting for this Drake is worth it based on your comp, based on their comp.
I
You
don't
have to
even know what the
stuff.
different drakes do.
Like there's the wind one, it's mostly movement speed. The water one is like healing. I think the fire one is damage. The earth one of them has something to do with tower damage. I
See,
don't
you don't even know
know.
what the dragons do,
I
and
really
you've played
don't.
more games than me.
Yeah, and like I said,
I think there might be too many types of dragons, too.
they really all the dragons are just the different layers of
The old dragon
previous
buff.
the old dragon buff, like when you got to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I don't
That's
like it.
really all they are. But instead of them being just arbitrary, it's now they're special dragons for them.
I don't like
Instead
it.
of, where are they going to give us the global gold dragon?
I might sound like an old man, but I don't like it, and I want Riot to get off my lawn.
Listen, you're not wrong. I agree. I don't like the changes. I don't like the way they feel right now. And it's because, listen, it just happened,
It's
and here it is.
different.
And also, Malzahar is OP and never is going to be able to get played right now.
You know, in my two games, nobody played Malzahar.
Was he banned both times?
No.
Because he was banned in every game I've played so far.
I played Annie. It was fine.
She wasn't banned in any of my games. Also, wasn't played.
Weird.
Or she's one of them she was played in. One of them she was played in.
I should have played Malzahar. I messed up. Oh well.
Yeah.
Let's end the show.
Yeah. You messed up. Didn't play Malzahar. That's it. So thank you guys for watching. You know, it's season 2, first episode. So we have a new commitment to this year of episodes. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of have had our New Year's resolution. For this the new year of shows,
we did.
I guess, right? Well, sure. We talked beforehand.
Yes, less talking out of our ass.
We're going to try, you know, after speaking with Wise Papa Smurf and Amanda and you know, seeing what they brought to the table, we realized that we're doing ourselves, our fans, and our peers a disservice by not being more cognizant on our facts.
Yeah.
And not kind of paying more attention and being we don't have to be professional.
Yeah, still dick jokes.
Still dick jokes.
We're still gonna talk about you know, being the coach of TSM and slapping each one of the players and asking what's wrong with them.
Smacking them in the face. If I was the coach of TSM, I'd backhand that fat fuck. But that's besides the point. We are going to make a more conscious effort to be factually accurate.
Yeah.
And we do want you guys to still call us out on it when we're wrong,
or don't,
or
it
don't.
It hurts my feelings.
But
I'm just kidding. You can't. I don't have any feelings.
What doesn't hurt our feelings is when you hop on League of Legends, you send one of us a message, and you say, "Hey, I'm a fan of the show. I love what you do. You make me laugh when I need a good laugh, and that is awesome." So if you want to do that, by all means. Captain Hooks, Pan the Man, that's who we are on here. That's who we are in game. We'd love to hear from you. And after the credits roll, we'll probably have our whole social media bump. But other than that, as I said, I'm Hooks.
I'm Pan.
And we will see you on the Rift.
Bye-bye. Tower Dive is myself, Ryan Adams, and my co-host Robert Gersey. You can find more of us at youtube.com/towerdive or wherever you find podcasts. If you have any feedback, you can leave us a comment or reach out to us on Twitter @towerdivepc.